This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Friends triple toe.
Huh? Oh no, T-O-W is the one with.
The one.
Or the one where, or the one without. Like every episode is labeled that or whatever, so. Hi, Kathleen.
Ugh. Hi, Julie and Vanessa.
I love that that's your first, you're like, ugh. Right. So we're back for another episode of How I Met Your Friends. And tonight we have a special guest, someone I've known since like my sophomore year of high school and your junior year. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of mutual friends in high school, but kind of still traveled in different circles,
yeah.
And then got to spend a couple weeks together in France when we were teenagers. So I would like to introduce everyone to Vanessa. She is also a huge Friends fanatic and is letting us borrow her DVDs. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
And then she and Kathleen and I all worked in the same direct sales company. So that's fun. Yeah.
We're family.
Right?
Yeah, we are.
So Vanessa is joining us tonight for our triple Friends episode. If you listened in last week, you'll remember that because Friends has way more episodes than How I Met Your Mother does in season 3, we're going to mash together these three and get caught back up for a new episode next week that's one in one. So tonight we're covering the one where Ross and Rachel take a break, the one with the morning after, and the one without a ski trip. And we're going to attempt to not make anyone cry.
No promises on my end because I've already had a big emotional day, and then I definitely cried a little bit while watching these episodes.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that a little bit later.
Absolutely. So do you have any fun recap from anniversary weekend that you want to share with anybody?
So it was our anniversary / Trevor's birthday weekend, and we went to a prohibition party in some fancy 1920s gear, and then we got up the next morning, drove home, packed, and spent the weekend in Portland, which was really super fun because, you know, we've been there a couple of different times. You know, his mom lives out there. I've come to visit you, but never really done anything. So on Trevor's birthday, we went to the zoo, which was, it was really cool. We saw all the animals, and then we went to his mom's house to watch the Packer game, which
was not good.
Definitely did not go the way that we wanted it to.
Right.
And then we went back to our hotel. Oh, and we saw a comedy show. I mean, it was good. It was really touristy. It was exactly like what I envision every time I think about going to a big city.
Did you guys go to Voodoo or anything like that?
So here's the thing. We were in Old Town and I said Voodoo like 8 different times, but he's not really a big sweets guy.
Ugh,
so
just, yeah, it's still just, go.
Kind he of didn't line up and I didn't, want, is better. I didn't want to eat a whole dozen donuts by myself.
No.
But,
you can't.
It's fine. We were right there. I pointed to it. He saw it. Life was good.
Mom and I happened to catch the end of that game at the coast, and I was like, oh, no. I almost texted you guys, and then I was like, no, that's just me. Let's not do that, because I don't like the 49ers, but I don't like football in general, so.
Yeah, I'm not a big NFL person.
Yeah, it's more just like, I was like, oh, sad.
Yeah.
Well, Mom and I
It was bad.
It was really bad. It was like 28 to 49 or something.
You know what's funny is, because we don't have cable, neither one of us has really followed football this year at all. Like, neither one of us had seen a game until Sunday. And it wasn't really a big deal, but it was a big deal to his mom, and it was on his birthday. And yeah, obviously, we wanted to see her and have fun, too. So it was a really, really good weekend.
Good. Well, yeah. Mom and I went to Depot Bay and had 4 nights at the new condo, and it was great, and we got to watch, we can't figure out if they were sea lions or harbor seals, because they look the same, but there was a pod of about 50 of them that kept coming up and beaching right in front of our condo, so I have all these really cool pictures of them, and then the tide went out so far on Sunday, and it was so beautiful that we could actually walk around the point, and if we'd wanted to, or been insane, or wanted to go against all of the signage, we literally could have walked up to them. We did not. We stayed like 100 to 100. I mean, we were like multiple football fields away from them. But several people tried to like walk right up to them. And the signs all say, don't go near the wildlife. Like, these are hundreds of pounds animals that will charge you if they need to. But they were so cute.
They are very cute.
I read like 4 books, which was amazing. Oh. I had such a good time. Not doing anything. I loved it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Except for I've played catch up at work today, so that's always a bummer. Come back from.
I'm still technically on vacation.
Good. Good.
Vanessa, take a couple minutes to tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself to our listeners.
Tell yourself. Like, oh my goodness. Well, I'm a yoga instructor.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a yoga instructor. I am also a stay-at-home mom. I have 3 kids that are 10, 6, and 3. They're pretty busy, and each one of them is very, very different from the other. I basically bounce back and forth between living in the Valley and living here. That's about it.
And Mark has a really, like, crazy job at the hospital.
Yeah, my husband is a nurse. He works in cardiac surgery at the hospital here, which keeps him very busy. He's on call quite a bit. That's about it.
So my sister and I were talking about that yesterday when I got home. I had to go over and help her with something, and then we were playing with Milo. We were talking about Hawaii. And she's like, but nobody wants me to bring him. And I'm like, my mom, Kathleen, and Vanessa and Mark are fine if you bring the baby. And also, Mark is a nurse, so if something happens, Milo will be fine. And she was like, wait, is that the guy that sniffed his head? And I was like, yes.
My husband's a little baby crazy.
I mean,
not so much with, like, we don't want anymore, but, right. Like, he will steal your baby and sniff its head. Like, that's his favorite thing.
Well, and he was only 6 months old at my birthday last year, and now he's a year and a half, and he still smells lovely, but he's also apparently sat on my sister's head yesterday with a full poopy diaper.
Oh.
Lovely. It was just like they were climbing on each other, and like he was using her as a jungle gym, and all of a sudden she like kind of moved her head and was like, oh, she's like, oh, dude, like, yeah.
Yikes.
He didn't know, because he doesn't, you know, he's just like, this is fun, and I always wear a diaper. I guess he's actually started kind of like, he'll point and go, like, he's trying to say like caca or something,
because
that's what his grandmother says when she changes him, so he's trying to tell my sister, like, could you fix this? Yeah.
Can you take care of this?
He might be getting close to potty training time.
And how old is he?
19 months.
Year and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. All right. Let's go ahead and get into our episode. So we have a cat that is visiting us, but who hopefully will not be making much noise. She's obsessed with Vanessa. It might be your tea because of the peppermint, too.
Oh, yeah.
But either way. So we're going to get started with the one where Ross and Rachel take a break. And obviously, by the title, we kind of know what's going to happen. And we've alluded to it in our last couple episodes. So, the episode does open with some funny stuff. Phoebe runs in and tells Monica that she needs an atlas because she met this guy at the UN while giving out free massages, which doesn't sound like you're a hooker at all.
No. Not even a little bit.
But she met this guy, he doesn't speak any English, and she wants to, like, you know, go on a date with him. So they're playing with this little tiny globe that's also a pencil sharpener, and all of a sudden Joey, who's been eating a jar of olives, walks over and does olive fingers with green olives and pretends to be an alien. Now, this is a bonus scene. This is not in the original.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay.
I was gonna say, I still do olive fingers.
I do, too. I have small enough hands that when we do black olives at Thanksgiving, I do it at least once. Just to, and then you eat them off your fingers. Olive fingers are the best.
It's a tasty treat.
It's true. Chandler, looking unfortunately skinny in these couple of episodes, we are into, unfortunately, Matthew Perry's, I think, height of possibly Vicodin addiction. Still love him with all my heart. He wants someone to give him a reason to go to the Xerox place and stare at the hot girl. And he says something to Joey, and Joey's like, yeah, I'll go with you. Like, they have no reason to go.
He says, something along the lines of, Joey, you don't want to go. And Joey's face looks like he's kind of indignant. Like, why do you just want to go stare at the copy girl?
Yeah.
But that's not what it is.
Yeah.
It's indignant of, why would you even ask me that question? Yeah. Of course I want to go look at her.
So we meet Chloe, and we also meet Isaac, who has a very, very white man's afro. Like, he's got some big hair.
But we've heard a lot about Chloe.
Well,
not a lot, but we've heard
she
of
has
Chloe
the
in the
girl.
Last few episodes.
She's only been mentioned as the girl at the Xerox place with the belly button ring. Mm-hmm. We've not learned her name, so we learn that it's Chloe. She is played by an actress named Angela Featherstone, who also plays Linda in The Wedding Singer, who is like the most terrible, leaves Adam Sandler at the altar, and then spawns one of the greatest lines in movie history, which is, Linda, yo, a bitch.
Oh, no.
Do you not
forgot about that line.
When they're like, he's like, we're checking to see if he has Tourette's. Because at one point, that little kid looks at him and goes, you're going to the mental institution. I love The Wedding Singer. It's one of the movies that if it's on TV, I will still sit down and watch it. So what's funny is the boys, like, want to talk to her. They don't want to talk to Isaac, but Isaac knows that they're there to talk to Chloe. So it seems like maybe Chandler and Joey are not the only guys that have come in just to stare at her.
I mean, probably all of them.
Yeah.
But, like, all the guys ever, not
oh,
just...
Yeah. I mean, she's cute. She's petite. She's showing off of a bare midriff.
90s it's, cute.
Yeah, she's
sure.
90s cute.
Yeah.
If I could rock her pixie cut, that is my one and only dream, but I can't, so it's fine. But she basically, like, asks them out to meet at, like, a club to hear Isaac DJ, but the implication is that maybe, like, it's a threesome, like, they're all gonna go on a date. And the boys seem a little freaked out by that, but, you know, they're gonna show up. Phoebe goes on her date with the diplomat, but she has to keep talking through the translator, and it's, like, annoying. And what I noticed is when they walk her, there is some threesomes going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. I just noticed that, too. Phoebe and the diplomat and the translator. Oh! I feel like this is the one and only time we actually see Phoebe's door. Like, front door of a building with, like, a buzz you in. Like, we don't ever see it again.
Probably not.
Yeah. And she's the only one who stays in the same apartment. You know what I mean? They all stay, but they move. Ross keeps moving. But, you know, it's always the apartment with her grandma. So then Phoebe goes to Monica's and basically is like, you know, isn't it great when you're talking to this guy, but his translator keeps getting in the way? And Ross comes in with a big bunch of flowers looking for Rachel. She's still at work. We find out it's their anniversary.
And she called.
Right. She called and told Monica, have Ross call me. And Ross has his little meltdown all by himself. And Monica's like, the only thing I know is this.
This is what I
call
know.
Her at work. And then a little doodle of a ladybug, which...
With a top hat.
With a top hat. Which I had to point out because you like ladybugs.
I do like ladybugs. I like them enough to get one forever.
Right? So it's their anniversary. And what I have to assume is it's 1 year. But I don't think the timeline actually...
They could be doing a month-iversary.
Yeah, because I think later he says to something, I dated her for over a year or something. So there's some, issues, as we find in a lot of these. So he does call her, and we find out that she's, like, stuck at work. There's this super big issue with, like, an order that was placed with, like, underwear, and she can't leave, and... He says, well, I'll bring you food. And she literally point blank says, please don't come to my office. I don't have time. I'll see you when I get home. But then we also see Phoebe ask Monica to double date with her so that the translator has someone to hang out with on the next date. Down the coffee shop, Chandler and Joey are freaking out about their date with Chloe. They're supposed to meet her at 10:30 and they want to go now, but it's only 4:30. So they need to chill for a little bit.
Can we also talk about the fact that she being the young 20-something, invited them to a club to see a DJ, and it starts at 10:30, and they are on the older end of their 20s. So they're not, that's not really what they do. Obviously not Chandler and Joey's scene, but it's like age-wise, not their scene either.
Well, I think this will come up in a later episode when their friend Gandalf wants to come, and like the last time they ended up on a fishing boat in Nova Scotia, and this time they are like, I'm just tired. I want a cup of tea and I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Which is me. Same. Yes. So I made a note that they do start talking about what should happen. And of course, I think this is left over from How I Met Your Mother, but I was like, so they start talking about a devil's three-way, which, if no one else is familiar, as far as Barney's concerned, a devil's three-way is when it's two guys and a girl instead of his, like, ideal, which is two girls and a guy. So they start talking about some rules, like, do you keep your eyes open? Do you not? You know, do you want to know what you're touching? Do you not want to know what you're touching? And Pod Mom was watching this with us and had to point out that she remembers this being super risque for the time. Of, like, talking about a threesome. But Vanessa had another observation.
I don't even remember what I said now.
Super homophobic.
Yes, it was extremely homophobic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It really, like, I mean,
don't accidentally touch something that you already have.
Right. Like,
don't even
look
at it.
Yeah, don't even look at it. I mean, yeah.
I mean, don't make eye contact with penises ever, but.
Well, that's a whole other topic.
Right? I mean, that's just it. Like, there is something about just naked bodies and sex in general that's kind of odd looking and not actually that whatever. But yeah, they're worried over nothing.
They're especially worried over nothing when we actually get to the club.
This is true. So we see Rachel at her office, basically yelling at someone on the phone, you know, this purchase order doesn't say that, it says this, and, you know, she's trying to fix it. Ross shows up with a picnic basket, which under normal circumstances is very, very sweet.
Very sweet. Very romantic.
Yeah, like if you were just regular surprising, when somebody has blatantly told you, don't. Come to my work.
If you had said, I'm not going to be able to get out for dinner tonight, and I just don't know what I'm going to do, you know, maybe I'll order in. And then they surprise you with dinner. That's so sweet. But yes, don't show up at people's offices uninvited. So he also has candles. He has, like, he brings an electric pepper grinder. Which,
that is a very Ross thing to do, though.
Yes. I mean, it's a very Ted thing to do.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's very over the top. You can't just get little pepper packets from, like, the deli part of the grocery store.
Or just buy coarse ground pepper.
Right. So, he catches the flowers on her desk on fire and ends up putting them out with a little water bottle, but getting water everywhere. And so she says to the person on the phone, I have to go. I have Shemp in my office, which
I didn't know who that was.
So
I didn't either. The very first time I watched it, I thought she said chimps, like little monkeys doing weird stuff.
Like, jumping on the bed, like, not my monkeys, not my zoo. So I asked my mom to confirm, he's one of the Three Stooges, one of the family. So he's the brother of Curly and Moe, but he only appears in, like, I think he did more solo work. Like, I think he may have started and then he left and they replaced him with Larry, who was not their actual brother.
Interesting.
Yeah. The original Three Stooges actually were related. So,
that's kind of weird.
That's something that I uselessly have in my brain.
Apparently.
Yeah. It helps me a lot.
Where'd you just pull that out of?
Well, I did just Wikipedia just now too. So, Rachel basically tells him to leave. They start arguing. He's like, you have to have time to have dinner. And she's like, I really don't. And then he asks her office mate if she has time, which you should never do, no matter what the circumstances. Do not ask. I don't think you should ask this of a guy either. But do not ask a woman, someone in a woman's, like, whatever, if she has, like, don't undermine her that way. It's just not going to turn out well for you.
Clearly.
So he packs up his little picnic basket and he leaves. And then when Rachel gets home, and we don't really know what time it is, but we know it's got to be pretty late. It's dark outside. It's snowing. Snow. And Rachel comes in and she's got like a stack of papers and books and all kinds of stuff with her. And Ross is on the couch just kind of eating what was in the picnic basket. And he starts to say something like, I know you were just stressed out. You probably didn't mean to yell at me. And she slams everything on the floor and is like, I was waiting for you to apologize. And she says something that is like, it gets repeated later, but she goes, you don't bring a picnic basket to someone's office unless maybe they were a park ranger. Which then I think of like Yogi Bear and all that fun stuff. But it brings up what they were talking about last time with him wanting to go, to that fashion conference instead of Mark because he's feeling like he's being left out of her life. And she keeps trying to explain to him that it's not that he can't be a part of it, but that it's finally something she's good at. Yes, Kathleen?
Did we get to the part yet where he says that it's just a job?
We're about
because
to.
They, okay. I was like, this is what you're describing. That's what her response is.
Right.
Go ahead. Continue on.
Well, so he says, you're too busy and I keep having a relationship with your answering machine and I feel like I don't have a girlfriend. And I think she basically is like, well, that's how you feel though. Like, that's not my, you know.
Okay.
And then he says, she goes, don't you understand that this is the first time I've ever been good at something and I like doing it? And he goes, yeah, but it's just a job.
So, but his feelings are also valid because that is the way that he's interpreting the situation. It may not be what she's putting out,
right.
But I'm going to give it to him that he is allowed to feel that way, but he's not allowed to use it against her and say, yeah, that's great. I'm glad you have this job, but it's just a job. Pay more attention to me.
Right. And what I think, too, is how, I mean, right, you're not supposed to bring up things that happened however long ago that you're still mad at somebody about, but did he not do this to her on one of their very first dates? He makes her wait at the museum while he fixes a display until their reservation is no longer and they can't go to dinner. Granted, it turns out good in the planetarium with Chris Isaacs playing and it's all sexy time, but it's a little, he takes his job very seriously. And in that sense,
and
I think
it's not fair for him. Mm-hmm.
Right. He thinks his job is important because it's somehow contributing to like society and he has a PhD and
he's a doctor.
Right. And he has more education. And I mean, I think it goes back to the list that he made about Julie too. Like the Rachel's
sure.
just a waitress. Oh, don't say just.
That's what I was going to circle back mm-hmm. to. He's already had that conversation with her.
It's like he doesn't learn.
Why?
But then he says the thing that goes even further, and he goes, is this about Mark? And we see Rachel, like, put her hands in her hair, like she's just going to rip it out. Like, and he's like, oh, okay, it's not. It's not. But you can't take it back, right? Like, he can't keep bringing up this friend that she has at work who just happens to be a man.
But it is also really hard sometimes to get past that insecurity of opposite sex,
right.
Someone who has similar interests. Like, it is hard. I mean, I am not Ross's biggest fan in any situation, and especially not here, but, like, being where I have been in relationships, like, I can see why he would be scared and unsure.
Yeah.
Not that the unfortunate thing is once you have that idea in your head, it doesn't go away. It doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I think the only way to get it to go away is to talk to your significant other and simply say, I'm having an insecurity. And that doesn't mean I think you're actually going to do anything, but it means I'm concerned about that other person maybe trying to hit on you. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is a way to talk about it.
Yeah, you just have to continue talking about it until, I mean, not like hours long, but like,
right.
If it's a genuine concern and you're worried, you need to be able to be open and say, this is why, these are the things that I'm seeing, and then in a perfect world, everybody will just move past it and you still have a happy relationship, but that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, Vanessa, what are you saying?
It ultimately comes back to being able to trust your partner, because you know, if his insecurity isn't that she's going to do something, it's that Mark is going to do something.
Right.
Like, well what does it matter if April doesn't reciprocate? April. Rachel doesn't reciprocate, you know? So it's like, at the same time, he's also kind of saying like, yeah, I don't trust that you're
going to be able to stop him. No, it's true. It's all very, it's obviously all very difficult. And so at this point, they're both so frustrated. And Rachel says, you know, let's take a break. And Ross says, yeah, let's take a break. Let's go get some frozen yogurt. Sounds so good.
I love for you.
I know. And she says in a very, you know, like calm but exhausted voice, she's like, no, a break from us. And Ross just grabs his jacket and leaves. So we see the bar where Chloe is with Chandler and Joey, and she keeps talking about work, and it's super boring.
Oh my God.
And Ross walks in and she knows who he is. He's the dino guy. And she goes to like do something else. And the boys are like, you know, why are you here? It's your anniversary. And
the reason that needs to be brought up is because she thinks she's introducing Joey and Chandler to Ross. Right.
Sorry.
And so then when she goes away, they have a conversation and say, why are you here?
Yeah. And he's like, well, instead of going to dinner, we're going to break up.
Okay. So, he said it, we broke up.
He might break up instead.
No, he doesn't say might.
Really?
Yeah, really.
You got it pulled up?
I do. So what are you doing here? I thought tonight was your big anniversary dinner. Yeah, a little change of plans. We're gonna break up instead.
Okay.
So, he admits his interpretation is breaking up. Done.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. The boys say you don't have to take that, you can, or no, it's later. Sorry, I'm skipping ahead.
Right. And I'm definitely not like Team Ross at all, but I can see where he is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks that they just broke up.
Yeah. Talk
to your fucking partner.
Right. So we see Monica and Phoebe on their double date. Monica is getting along with the translator really well, and basically it's pissing Phoebe off. Which leads to some funny things of like, Phoebe keeps tapping on the table and being like, you know, tell him I said this. Oh, you didn't say the whole thing, or, you know, just keeps interrupting, like, basically Monica and I think his name is Misha, like, their date. So then we see... Good.
So she's like trying to impress the guy, and she's like, oh, I can even speak a little French.
Yeah.
Which...
Oh. How did she not know what voulez-vous coucher avec moi meant?
I'm just saying...
It's in the song.
If you say, I can speak a little French, and you bust that out, you know you're being a dirty girl.
Well, the funny thing is like, I can say that where I'm like, I can speak a little bit of Spanish, but the only thing I can say is, can I have another beer, and where's the bathroom? ¿Dónde está el baño? Uno más cerveza. That's it.
Dos cervezas, por favor.
Right? That's all I know how to say. I think I obviously I can count. And I used to be able to say, like, how much does this cost? Because we went to Costa Rica. But that's literally, I'm not even going to try. It's not, no.
I can definitely speak more French than that sentence. Yeah. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that it stuck enough that... That sentence, granted, Moulin Rouge, the movie musical, hadn't come out yet.
Oh, I know it from Mamma Mia.
What?
Or not Mamma Mia, from ABBA, Voulez-vous coucher avec moi. It's in several songs, but it's in an ABBA song, too.
It is?
I swear.
I thought it was, like, somebody else.
Hold on.
No, the ABBA song is part of
the...
Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, ABBA actually has a song called Voulez-vous. Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Kevin? Yeah.
Lady Marmalade?
Yeah.
Lady Marmalade from Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but back at the apartment.
Pass on that one.
No. Back at the apartment, Rachel is like hanging out in the big window seat with the corded phone that we don't see a lot later on, but it's here now. It's going to come out in a second, too. Oh, the last time we saw it was with the list when he kept trying to dedicate songs to her. And then she called the radio station and was like, I'm not going to play your song anymore. But the phone rings and it's Mark. And he was like, well, I was just going to leave you a message. I figured because at the office, they had said they needed to get in touch with Mark because he knew how to fix something that was happening. Yes.
No.
What?
Yes, they said that. I'm not buying any of it. Mark is not an innocent bystander here.
He wouldn't have known she was home. If he was calling to leave her a message, would have gotten her machine.
Nope. Shut it down. If it was a business call, she called from the office. He would have called the office back. Done. Period. End of story. Mm-hmm. Even if it was a Friday and they had to address it on Monday, don't care. He intentionally called her at home and then said, I was going to leave you a message. Isn't this your anniversary? He knew what day it was.
Mm-hmm.
Mark knows
okay.
more than he should.
Okay.
Mark is not, nothing ever happens between the two of them, but Mark is not just innocent office guy.
He does try kissing her later.
In
a couple more episodes. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would say
Mark knew what he was doing.
Mark and Chloe.
Oh, yeah.
Both, like, same. Like,
ooh, yeah.
You know, like, Chloe's, like, pushing herself on Ross. Mark's pushing, you know, because Rachel's like, yeah, don't come over.
And he comes over.
However,
he's like, no, I'm coming over and I'm bringing Chinese.
Pod Mom has something to say about Chloe.
And however, I do not know that Chloe officially knows that Ross is in a relationship. She knows that Ross comes in for copies and then she says, it's okay if you're married. And he just kind of laughs. He doesn't say, no, I have a girlfriend. He never clarifies. And she assumes marriage. So Chloe's definitely not in the right. Not Team Chloe.
I was gonna say, then she's like, it's okay if you're married.
Right?
Exactly. Like, for her to say, it's okay if you're married, still, girl, you are so far wrong. But the malicious intent isn't there with Chloe. Like, she's just enamored with Ross.
Well, in it for a good time, not to actually, like, break anybody up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd agree with that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about it later, but then, because even later when he's like, oh, yeah, we got back together, she's like, oh, good!
Yeah.
So, I don't think that there's malicious intent with Chloe.
Yeah.
She just wants to get some.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Mark has the feelings.
Yeah, the feelings.
Their actual feelings or just sexual desires is up to interpretation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So back at the bar, we see Joey and Chandler telling Ross, like, what are you doing? You need to go call her and work it out. Like, don't be an idiot. And we see him walk over to the payphone. And then we cut back to the apartment. And Rachel is telling Mark about the fight. But she admits, she says, I don't want to break up. Like, she kind of does shut down before Mark could, you know, say anything else, if he was going to. And then all of a sudden the phone rings. It's Ross, and he's like, can't we just work this out? And she's like, yes, I want to. And then all of a sudden Mark goes...
No.
What?
First Mark says, I'm coming over with Chinese food. And she's like, no, you really don't have to.
Right, that's... Yeah, on the phone. Yeah.
Right. And then Ross's phone call comes through.
Yeah. So... Yeah, Mark, like, says, do you want something to drink? And Ross can hear him. And why didn't Rachel just go, he just stopped by to check on me? Which is still not great. It still doesn't sound great. But she doesn't say anything, which then makes...
She flatly lies and says, no one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's...
But then
she's not the innocent party in this either.
If she had said, like, right off the bat, as soon as Mark started talking, if she was like, oh, you know, that's Mark in the background, he just stopped by to say hi or whatever, to whatever she was gonna say, that to
she
me sounds defensive
back to them.
You know what I mean? So like, if I was Ross and they're like, oh wait, by the way, he's just here for this, you know, I'd be like, why are you trying to cover it up already?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's definitely that. But if she would have been like, oh, he came by to clarify whatever work thing,
right?
I mean, A, it's a lie, but it would be better than saying, No, you didn't hear anybody.
Oh, no, I agree. So Rachel starts to say something. Ross is like, yeah, I got it, and hangs up on her. And then we see Chloe ask him to dance, and he walks away. He goes to the bar, but we see, or I think he says, I'm just going to have a drink, and she's like, two beers. And he does make a face where he's like, I feel like this is the first time I really caught it, where he's kind of looking at her like, leave me alone. Like, she's insistent, and he's like, no, I just want to be alone. But we cut to, which I think is also a bonus scene, Chandler and Joey had been out on the dance floor with Chloe, but when she leaves, they're just dancing with each other, and you see them, like, dance off the shot, but they're dancing terribly. Like, worse than I've ever seen Chandler dance. Like, Joey's doing, like, the Cabbage Patch. It's not good. So back at dinner with Monica and Phoebe and their dates, the translator is telling a sad story about his dog, but then the diplomat Sergei yells at him. They get into this big argument, which has the translator quitting his job and asking Mona to go to the Russian room, the Rainbow Room, one of those like
Rainbow Room.
Fancy New York things, because they have diplomatic coupons. Your guy can't even say coupons, like...
And you know Monica is all about coupons.
Yeah, she is. So we cut back to the bar, and we have the REM song start, which is, of course, absolutely heartbreaking. Chloe basically forces Ross out on the dance floor, and we see Rachel again at the apartment alone. Mark has left. She's waiting by the phone, and we see her pick up and dial.
When Chloe forces him on the dance floor, she does that thing that all women hate. She says, oh, come on, not even a smile, which is, it'd be so much prettier if you smiled.
Uh-huh.
So she does that, and I kind of, like, I, again, want to slap her.
She's not reading the tone or the, like, the...
She's not reading the cues.
No.
But apparently that works out for her anyway.
I know. So
I
mean, she kisses him, and he does kiss her back. And again, we have acknowledged that he thinks that they're basically, whether he said on the phone, I want this to work out, he thinks that Mark is there, basically it's done. You know, it's done. And Pod Mom would like you to know that Chloe's a whore.
Oh, she is like sleazy of sleazy sleazyville.
See, I don't know that I would call her a whore. I mean...
She's not. She, like, I'm
she's just out to, like, have sex. You know what I mean? Yeah. And she doesn't know at this point that Ross...
And she did not know that Ross had a girlfriend. Yeah.
Exactly.
But...
Question.
Her morals are questionable.
Right. If this was flipped, and think of the scene in a couple seasons where Phoebe and Rachel go out to have drinks, those guys come over and hit on them, and they, like, invite him to a party, and the girls are like, no, thank you, and the guy hands over his number, and it's done. She's single. She really is. Her and Ross are not together. They've had the baby. They're not together. If that guy had sat down to her and had continuously said, come on, come out with us, like, it'll be a good time, why can't you just have fun, wouldn't we think that he was being... really inappropriate and creepy?
Yes.
And I actually feel like Ross had said multiple times, I'm not in a good mood. I want to sit down and have a drink. Stop.
She is definitely being aggressive.
Yeah.
And I don't like that part of the storyline either. But sure, she's fixated on the wrong target. But, like, if she just wanted to get laid that night, I'm totally behind it. Have as much sex as you want when you're single.
Yeah.
Get it. All of it. Have as much sex while you're together. Like, not single, too. Have sex. It's good for you. But...
Is this why I'm always crabby? Is this why I'm always crabby?
Yeah. Because
I haven't in a while.
Well, it's not necessarily about sex. It's about sexual release. But, yeah, like, I mean... I'm not faulting Chloe for wanting to have sex. I'm faulting her for having sex with somebody who's clearly not interested and pursuing that.
Right. And I think, you know, it's that thing of, like, you kiss a guy and sometimes their lizard brains take over and they... I mean, I'm sorry. Whatever. I'm not going to forgive him. But still. So we do end with Phoebe and Sergey singing American Pie, but him in his native language, which I have to tell you guys is really funny because that's my parents' song from when they were in middle school and high school. Their song is American Pie. Yeah. So we always laugh at this one. Okay, so are we ready to just push through to...
I did want to say one other thing, because I feel like you brought up a really good point about, like, what if the roles were reversed? Like, that just, to me, made me think about, I mean, it's really, it's touching on rape culture. Because, like, you know, she buys him a drink at the bar. He's like, no, 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 I'm not interested. She's like, oh, here's some drinks. Oh, come on, come out and dance. And then, you know, she's like,
You're already moving to the beat. Just actually go with it. Like, it's aggressive. She is, in my opinion, overly aggressive for the situation. I think if she was... I mean, go after Chandler and Joey. Those boys are down. They're down.
Both of them are down. They've already made
it. At the same time, even. They've got the rules laid out.
Right? The rules of the Devil's Three-Way.
No, we are not powering through.
Oh, okay. Do you need a break?
I need to go to the restroom.
Okay, I'll pause it. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to How I Met Your Friend's Pod. If you're liking our podcast, please head over to patreon.com/howimetyourfriendspod to check out all the ways that you can support our podcast. We've got levels for every budget and all the swag you could ever want. So once again, that's patreon.com/howimetyourfriendspod to support this pod and others like it. Thank you for listening to How I Met Your Friends. All right.
Sorry.
Okay. So we're back to the one with the morning after, or the one... the morning after. And we get Joey doing the previously on, which is kind of, you know, anyway, so they do a recap and we open with, Monica's in the kitchen making like a fruit smoothie. She's got on the girl's sweatshirt that we've talked about before that will come up several other times in the series. And hold on, Kathleen, I think, are you frozen? Oh no, I thought you were frozen for a second. And Rachel comes out of the bathroom. She's in a bathrobe with her hair in a towel. And Monica's like, how did last night go? What does she say?
She says, how was the big anniversary dinner?
Yeah. And does she say, like, it wasn't?
And Rachel says, well, we never actually got to dinner. And right. Monica goes, nice.
Right. And, of course, they're like, that's your brother. Yeah. But,
that boundary is...
Oh, yeah, there's it's not there. So Rachel says, well, we kind of broke up.
Yeah.
And so Monica's...
they both said it.
Right. Monica's smoothie goes everywhere, and they're talking, and she's like, but I don't want to break up. Like, I want to be with your stupid brother or whatever. And so that's kind of how it opens. So, yes, you are correct.
It's one of the funny things, too, is, like, the smoothie goes everywhere and it gets up on the ceiling and Rachel goes, there's banana on your ceiling. And Monica goes, no, this is more important than banana on my ceiling.
I mean, she still looks really upset. She's like, banana on my ceiling. Like, yeah, it's really cute. And so we cut to Ross waking up kind of cockeyed in his bed. He looks hungover and he, like, burrows out in the covers, like, oh, everything's fine, I can just go back to sleep. And Chloe walks out of the bathroom and goes, good morning. And she's just in a towel. And you see him do this funny thing outside of the comforter where he's kind of like, you know, he did not realize she was there. So I have to think that they continued drinking. So Ross goes out into the kitchen. He's got some clothes on. He is playing the answering machine, and there is a message from Rachel that says, you know, I don't want this to be the end, whatever. I'm going to come over and talk to you. We have to talk about this in person, and I'm going to stop by before work. And he looks at the clock, and it's like that time.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to rush Chloe out of his apartment, and she's asking him some, like, stupid questions. And he's like, well, you know, that girl I told you about last night, well, she's coming back. She's coming over. So now we do know that at some point, Ross told Chloe that he has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Well, like, when?
Right.
Before or after they slept together.
Yeah. So, she...
And also, how does he remember having a conversation about... Well, you know, once you wake up and maybe you start remembering things. So, okay, oh, yeah. I'll give it to him.
I've been there. So yeah. He gets her shoes. He starts to, like, you know, try and really push her out. And she starts to kiss him, like, full on the mouth goodbye. And he, like, puts her jacket over her. But he opens the door and Rachel's standing there before she even, like, could knock.
Yeah.
And he pushes Chloe behind the door. He, you know, pulls Rachel in and she says, like, can I be your girlfriend again? And, you know, everybody's so happy. Stupid. Yeah. Everybody's happy. Yeah. They're all together. And from the back of the door. Oh, so not good.
Also, kudos to Chloe for taking the note that, like, yeah, the girlfriend's here. Keep your mouth shut. Whereas Mark, on the other hand, was like, here, you want a drink? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right? Idiot. So, back at Monica's apartment, Phoebe comes in and Monica's mopping the ceiling. For the banana, and Phoebe notices that she's gotten this package, and it turns out it's this waxing, which makes me think of NADS, which was way later, but like
which
the whole
the exact thing that it is, yeah.
Right? With this, like, it's, you know, organic and biodegradable, mm-hmm. and all these things, and it won't hurt. It still hurt. I used it. I bought it. It hurt.
Was NADS a actual wax, or was it the wipes?
No, it was an actual wax.
No,
it was more like a gel.
Yeah.
Oh, that took my skin off one time,
that
too.
Yeah, it smells horrible.
Oh, yeah. So Phoebe's super excited. She's heard about this stuff, too. She, like, rips open the box. Supposedly, it, like, doesn't hurt. And they're so excited about, you know, trying this new waxing. So I have to go TMI just for one second. I haven't shaved my legs in quite some time because, A, it's winter, and B, I ride solo. So my sister sees this when we go swimming the other night, and she looks at me, and she goes, I can wax that for you, because she, like, actually has it, and she's like, it's perfect length for getting waxed, and I was like, are you just trying to inflict pain on me? Like, is this a, like, she would laugh evilly as she was waxing my legs. She really would.
Yeah, she would.
She would.
That would be fun to see, though.
I know, it would be. So Ross goes to the boys' apartment and tells Chandler and Joey, and they say, well, you know, when you disappeared, we just thought that you'd gone to talk to Rachel. Joey's like, which is probably what you should have done. And he's like, well, how am I going to explain this to her? And Chandler's like, you know. And Joey's like, you know, I'm all for honesty, but not when it's going to get you in trouble. But they bring up a point about the trail, which I think I've heard it described differently, but it's basically the 7 degrees of separation between your...
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Bacon. But it's between your partner and whomever you've... done whatever you've done with. So they decide to, you know, how can they connect Chloe to Rachel? Well, Chandler does it like an idiot savant. Chloe to Isaac at the copy store. Isaac is Jasmine's sister. Jasmine works with Phoebe. Phoebe knows Rachel. Oh, I've done it. He's so proud of himself. I do love this scene, though, when he's, like, Ross is reclined in one of the chairs, like, he's just like, okay, I'm gonna have to, like, if I don't ever tell her, nothing will happen, it's fine. And Joey kicks the foot and, like, forces him to sit back up. And he's, like, so serious about this. Like, this is what I love about Barney later, of, like, dude, pay attention. I might be an idiot most of the time, but, like, this is important, which is still wrong, but... back at Monica's, they are trying the wax. They've got it all set up. They're on her bed, her and Phoebe and everything. And they pull one strip and they start screaming.
Because it's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I have been professionally waxed once or twice where it didn't hurt that bad, but it's still like, it just never feels good to have your hair pulled out.
You get kind of used to it after a while.
Yeah.
I used to get waxed regularly. And then I have a horrible at-home waxing story, but we'll save that for another time.
I've only tried at-home waxing, but my skin is so sensitive that it immediately broke out,
yeah.
And it was not pleasant at all, and it hurt like a motherfucker.
I think I just didn't get the wax hot enough,
that'll
so it was
do
really
it.
Gummy,
yep.
And I was like 9 months pregnant, and things were stuck together, and I couldn't see very well, and there were tears.
So... my ex-boyfriend Mike needed to go on a trip, and they were either going on a cruise or they're doing something where he's going to be, you know, shirtless. And he was kind of a hairy boy. Not quite Robin Williams, but, like, enough. So I waxed his back in the middle of summer in his upstairs apartment with, like, no air conditioning. Like, he's sweating and the wax is barely sticking. I laughed so hard I thought I was going to, like, pee myself. Like, he's in the bathroom screaming at me. I'm laughing. And his roommate and his brother were both there. Something where these are guys that he knows. And they come running up the stairs. What is happening up here? And I was like, I'm waxing his back.
Oh, my.
We didn't put any, like, sort of, like, witch hazel or anything over it after, and he broke out so bad. Like, I felt so bad for him. But in the moment, it was one of the funniest things that's ever happened. Like, I was gleefully enjoying inflicting pain on him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a little bit. So Ross goes to the Xerox place to talk to Chloe, and she thinks it's because she stole his watch, because apparently that's one of the things that she does.
She likes trophies. It's cool.
Cool.
Now she's a serial killer? Like, what is this?
No, maybe. Less trophies and more, she's just a little klepto. Like, some people just steal. I steal pens from a lot of places. Oh, I really do. Like, okay. I mean, a lot of times if you have a branded pen, you mean for me to take it, but I'm going to take it either way. I do. I steal pens. So he's like, no, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, you didn't tell anyone. I want to get back together with her. And it's just not, you know, this is a one-time thing. And she's like, well, I already told Isaac because I tell him everything.
Well, first she reassures him by saying, oh, no, I didn't tell anybody. And he right. goes, oh, not even Isaac? Oh, right. No, I tell Isaac everything.
Yeah. That's why can't just say you oh, God. So then he tries to talk to Isaac, which is does not go well because Isaac is a little crazy.
Yeah.
But it turns out that he already told his sister Jasmine. So Ross goes to the massage place that Phoebe works at and walks in and introduces himself again. And Jasmine just goes, you did a bad thing.
Yeah.
And she's got this great kind of raspy voice, but she's like, you did a bad, bad thing.
So it makes it sound like she's doing sexy baby voice.
A little. Yeah, she's got a fun voice. So he says, you know, did you tell Phoebe? And she says no. And he's like, okay, you know, please don't. I'm going to work this out. I'm going to tell her. And she's like, but Phoebe's not the only person I know who knows Rachel. And we don't find out, like, it cuts to him running into the coffee shop because Jasmine lives with Gunther.
Yeah.
And we
he
know
says,
that...
oh, was I not supposed to?
Gunther doesn't like Ross very much.
No, because Ross is Rachel's boyfriend. And
yes.
Gunther wants to be Rachel's boyfriend.
But I still feel like this is awfully malicious for Gunther. You know what I mean?
I mean... pretty harsh.
Like, if time had passed and you knew the situation and you walked up to her and you're like, I'm really sorry that Ross did that to you. You know, you don't deserve it. Like, you're a great person. Like, that could be more like, you know, maybe don't bring it up, but also whatever. But yeah, the only thing I can imagine is the conversation of Rachel, like, getting off work, coming in for a drink or something, and Gunther looking at her and going, oh, so I heard you and Ross broke up because he slept with Chloe. Like, are we on the Kardashians?
Yes.
Like,
yes, we are.
Did I tell you I wanted to name my next animal Chloe, and now I think it might not work out? Because now it's tainted for me
again. The Kardashians?
Yeah. No, because of this. No, I like Chloe Kardashian. I actually think that she's the best.
I don't like the name Chloe, and it may stem from, like, a lot of different things, but I definitely think of her as a sleazy stripper, steal your man.
Oh, see, I always think of her just like a cute little French girl, so I wanted to go with Fiona, Sophie, and Chloe.
Yeah, no, I did, in the past, think that she was the most adorable little French girl, but
yeah,
she's
Yeah, with,
not.
Like, a little hat and, like, little Mary Janes. Okay.
Wait, are we talking about an animal or a person?
Both. I want a
Mary
either,
Janes for your cat?
Yeah. No, I either want a dachshund or a French bulldog and name it Chloe. Oh, Frenchies are like thousands of dollars, though, so I'm going to stick with a dachshund.
Rescues.
Yep. So So Ross comes up to talk to Gunther and is like, I kind of already told her, was I not supposed to? And he turns around and Rachel's sitting in one of the window seats that they never sit in unless their couch is taken. And you just see the look on her face and, you know, it's...
She's not, like, she's mad, but she is very, very hurt.
Heartbroken.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost as if, like, yeah, like, there's just no emotion. Like, she's just dead because, yeah, you can't. So we go back up to the apartment and we see Phoebe and Monica still dealing with the waxing and they've made a decision that they'll pull off each other's so that they don't have to inflict the pain on themselves. But as they're doing it, although there is a really funny bonus thing where Phoebe goes, I think I could leave mine on. I think I could work with this look, which is not in the original. So Phoebe and Chandler run in, I don't know how they would have heard him screaming across the hall, but whatever, with a frying pan and a tea kettle to, you know, save them.
Save the day.
And they probably weren't in their own apartment. They were probably in Monica's apartment eating the food.
Probably. And so they're like, you know, it can't hurt that bad. Women just have a lower pain tolerance. And Chandler says, you can't say that until you've been kicked somewhere that God intended to be treated nicely. Which is always very funny.
I've seen some people give birth, and I've seen some people get kicked in the nuts. Not the same.
No. Well, I mean, Chandler has this conversation with Erica in season 10 where he's like, well, I guess it's an unanswerable question because no one can give birth and get kicked in the nuts. Like, it's not the same,
that's
guys.
True, but
like,
you can see the responses.
Yeah,
that's not true.
Really?
Vanessa's right.
I guess that's true. Okay, sorry.
In 2020,
that's true.
You can have both.
So Phoebe reaches over and waxes Joey's arm and rips it out. And in the original, he just kind of yelps this one time. But in this bonus, he does it like two or three times. And Chandler's just like, okay. But what I think is funny is in two or three seasons, we're going to see him shave his leg completely because... somebody finds Monica's razor. I'm just saying, like, he's now been waxed. He'll have his eyebrows waxed mm-hmm. at some point, and then he's shaved his legs. So.
That's right.
I just love Joey.
Joey is the best.
Joey's the best. So Ross and Rachel burst in, and everyone can kind of hear them yelling. Chandler shuts Monica's door because he knows what's going on. And the girls, you know, they're like, what's happening? And they're listening at the door. And he's like, Ross goes, it's a mistake, and I didn't mean to. And Rachel goes, well, where did you mean to put it? Her purse? And Phoebe goes, where did he put it? So when we realize that Chandler, or when the girls realize that Chandler knew about it, Chandler and Joey, Monica hits them both in the head. And one of the boys goes, he slept with someone, and we get hit in our heads. So
she knew.
Right? So Rachel tries to throw him out. And when he won't leave, he wants to talk about it. She decides to ask him some questions, which
don't... Was it good?
Yeah. Was
never
did
ask
you...
those questions.
Oh,
you
God.
You don't want to know.
Don't
no,
want to know.
You
as
don't.
If it happened, just let it lie.
No.
As somebody who has been cheated on in every past relationship, you don't actually want to know.
Right.
Don't ask.
No.
I'm
so
telling
you can't
you
ever
right
get
now.
Those images out of your head.
No.
Cannot get those images out of your head.
Yeah. But what's funny is this is one of the episodes, Kathleen, that I think that How I Met is more like How I Met Your Mother in the cutting mm-hmm. back and forth. Because what we notice as Friends is does a lot of like single scenes, like everyone's in one room. There might be different conversations, but it's all happening. And How I Met Your Mother does a lot of like somebody's in the apartment, somebody's in the bar, but everything's happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those episodes where it overlaps so much. But we see the boys responding in the bedroom of like, don't answer that. And him being like, well, it was different. And they're like, ooh, no, answer better. And she's like, different good. And he's like, nobody likes change. So she starts beating him with the newspaper, which is perfect. And then he tells her that, like, all he wanted was to talk to her when he got her message, when she came over, and all he could think about was getting Chloe out of there. And so Rachel realizes that Chloe was still in the apartment when she came over, which is icky.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
every part of it is icky.
Makes my skin crawl. And he hands the newspaper back to her so she can continue to hit him.
Well, at least he knows.
He says, like, he didn't think they were together. The break was, like, for all he knew, that was a breakup and, like, whatever. And what I wanted to point out really quick is this one scene where they're standing face to face and they both still have their jackets on is they're dressed exactly the same. He has a green, like, peacoat style with a black shirt, and she's wearing brown pants, black shirt, green, like, trench peacoat. And so it was more, I think I've noticed this before, but it was the very, like, I wonder if it was deliberate, do you know what I mean, of trying to get them, anyway.
Oh, probably.
So Joey says, you know, we should stop listening, I want to leave, and we hear Ross say, oh, well, I tried to make sure that you didn't find out, and she's like, oh, thanks, which is kind of worse. I mean, I feel like I've been told both times that it happened, whether it was right away or within what, however it worked out, I was always then still told. But
by the person or somebody else?
No, the person.
Okay, that's fine.
Where it was like, we were talking about getting back together and they were saying, by the way, while we were maybe not completely broken up, but not really together, I slept with someone else. Cool. Do I need to go to the free clinic? Like, were you safe? Like, do I need to go, you know? But it was never, like, completely I hid it from you. It was more like, well, I'm just going to tell you this happened, and then we'll have to figure it out. And so this, the him running around to not, to make sure she doesn't find out, I think is just so much worse.
Deceptive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he admits that the boys told him not to tell her, and then, of course, you know, everyone's mad at them. And I think that's when Chandler goes, take the wax, seal the door, we're never coming out.
We're never coming out.
So Ross admits, though, that he thought that she was at that same time, like, having sex with Mark, and she says, well, would you be able to forgive me if that is what had happened? And he says yes at first.
And then she goes into detail.
Like, yeah. And Ross, like, freaks
everything
out.
Everything that she's picturing in her head,
flipped. She said, yeah, flipped. And he says, you know, it would make me upset and I would hate it, but I would still want to be with you. And so it cuts away for a minute and it comes back, so commercial break, and we see them sitting at the table and she just looks completely, like, exhausted, wrung out, just can't. And he's like, what are you thinking? Because he cannot let things go.
No.
And she's like, I'm thinking about a pizza. So, we have some fun with, like, Joey wanting a pizza, and then they realize that they can actually eat the wax because it's, like, organic and whatever. Ross wants some pizza, but no anchovies, and Rachel says put the anchovies in the sauce, which we will all admit is pretty petty, but...
Deservedly so.
yeah.
Yeah.
But I would probably also do it.
Yeah. Everyone in the bedroom is eating the wax and Joey seems to like it. And then somebody asks, you know, what if they don't get through this? And, you know, we kind of get that first of, like, the fracturing of, you know, the friend group and what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Ross tries to apologize again and explain, you know, he was out of his mind. You know, he's not a cheater. He's not Joey. And we hear
Joey gets real indignant about it.
He's like, hey. And he's kind of like, yeah.
I don't think that Joey's ever actually cheated.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he's not usually with someone, so I don't know how you can consider it cheating.
Mean,
yeah.
Like, that he sleeps around and good on you.
He's just
not
monogamous.
Get all the sex you want.
Yeah.
But I think he cheats.
So, Ross does turn it around, though, and says, like, Rachel, you know, you're the one that wanted a break, and she says, like, well, that doesn't matter. And he's like, well, what are you going to do now that it's gotten, you know, hard again? Are you going to fight for us? Are you going to bail? And he tries to hug her, and they're sitting on the couch, and he tries to kiss her. And she jumps up and pushes him off and says, you know, you need to leave. And she, like, he starts, like, begging. I mean, he's wrapped around her, like, you know.
On his knees.
He's he's so, and, I mean, I do feel the part where earlier where I was like, I kind of feel like Ross or whatever, but if someone were to say to me, I want to take a break from us, I do feel that it's very hurtful.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just saying, I want to take a break from this fight, like Lily and Marshall and the pause, which never really works,
right.
But I want to take a break from this fight so that we can both think about things, so that we can both, like, calm down. But to say, I want to take a break from us is very hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people start referring to each other as an us, like, that's a big step in most relationships. Like, that implies a future that, like, you know, you're thinking about those things. So, when he gets down on his knees right here and starts begging her, like, I get real, like, upset because he is saying, you know, like,
I massively screwed up and I'm eternally sorry because
he can't live without her.
I want to be with you.
Yeah. Yeah. But she says, no, you know, he was never supposed to be the person that hurt her and now everything's changed and she just can't picture him like that. And they're standing like face to face and it's so very stark of like the separate, I feel like that's the other reason why you dress them the same is that it creates a negative space. Like you can so see the space between them, that it just emphasizes it that much more. And everyone in the bedroom is like near the door and they're all crying and, you know, really upset.
No, good for anybody.
No. And so then a little while later, everybody in the bedroom is like, well, it's been quiet. You know, maybe we can go out there. And Joey goes, maybe she killed him.
Fair.
So they all sneak out there and it turns out Rachel's fallen asleep on the couch. And so somebody covers her up. But Joey does this funny sneaking thing that harkens back to some joke that he had said about a new walk. And Chandler's like, is that your new walk? He's like, no, I really have to pee.
Long time.
Oh, it's like 3 a.m. by the time they, like, Monica notices that it's like 3 a.m. So,
yeah.
So, real quick, anything on this, or do you want to power through to the ski trip?
I think it's really, really important. I mean, it's the same storyline that we've been talking about this whole time, and it's really hard to follow who's at fault here.
Yeah.
And not that I want to put any blame on Rachel, but, like, she didn't make it very clear what she meant. And they actually both came to the conclusion that they broke up.
I do still
but
think
also,
that
like,
a waiting period.
Do you just automatically jump into bed with the next person you see when you break up?
Super unhealthy. Like, yeah. It's not great for your mental.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to give it, like, 24 or 48 hours.
Although, like, not to be pro Ross,
right.
But he did say no many times. And
I know.
Then he was also under the influence as well. You know, when you, like, don't make very good decisions.
No.
You know, especially when you're faced against somebody like Chloe, who's being super pushy and really aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I'm not letting him off the hook by any means.
No.
But.
Well, yeah. Yeah, your brain can get into the thing of like, well, I'm going to do the thing that is no consequence because it doesn't matter. There's everything I wanted is gone and I'm just going to do the thing that, you know,
in the moment. Or how about like, you know, I really feel like crap right now and this makes me feel good.
Right. Ugh.
Yeah.
I feel unwanted in this relationship and now this person wants me.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh. Yeah.
So, the one with the ski trip, I feel like without dismissing this episode in its entirety, we can go through it a little bit quicker because there's just a couple of things that I really want to highlight. Are you good with that, Kathleen?
Yeah, I mean, as long as we follow this, you know, what we normally do, I don't think it's going to be one of those fluffier episodes for sure.
Right. So the main things that I kind of wanted to pull out of this is the fact that the friends group is obviously separated by gender because that's, you know, how it would mostly go.
Right.
They feel the need to keep the two of them apart. So, you know, if you're going to meet somebody somewhere, the other person can't be there, kind of crap. But what I really noticed is, like, they're arguing whenever they get in the same room with each other. We don't really see that a lot. And it's only been a week. And somebody goes, well, it's been a week. Maybe it'll be okay. No. I do love, though, that Chandler notes that this is like when his parents got divorced. I hope Ross isn't going to kidnap me after soccer practice or whatever.
Cub Scouts.
Thank you. Oh yeah, he's not playing soccer. I forgot. It's Chandler. And like, I mean, just maybe highlighting it, thinking that this is the mid 90s when it was being talked about that like more kids had divorced parents than, you know, like they ever had before, that kind of a thing of like when I was in elementary school and middle school, I literally can't think of, well, no, I can think of maybe four friends whose parents were together. Everybody else's parent, I mean, everybody I knew's parents were divorced. Most people's dads didn't even live in the same town or state as us. Like, it was all just moms. So,
oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So I feel like maybe, this was like maybe a good time of like, let's talk about what happens when people get divorced. Anyway, it just dawned on me of that like correlation.
No, I'm with you actually. I think, but if I were to think back of my core group of friends, my parents were the only ones that were divorced. Like, Monica's parents weren't divorced. Trisha's parents aren't divorced. Kara's parents are still together. Bree's parents are still together. Kelly's parents were together at the time, and then they separated, and then her mom passed away. Like, of my friends, I was the only one with divorced parents.
Yeah. Because your parents were still together.
Parents are still together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
the reverse reality of that, though, is, like, that's all I knew growing up, so I truly thought everybody had two families, and you got to have two Christmases, and, like,
oh,
and
then
I met people whose parents weren't divorced.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did always like hanging out with my friends whose parents were together, but at the same time, like, it was just so common for me to go to, like, my friend Haley or Lauren's house and it just be their mom. And it was just, like, a second or third mom. And I didn't even worry about, like, where's your dad? What I really love, too, is the explanation kind of like, you have to ask first to be able to hang out with the friend group because that's how we're going to have to kind of, like, it's like a parenting plan. It's the whole custody agreement, you know, and, like, that's so, my sister's going through this right now. I actually looked at my parents' custody agreement once when I was a teenager just to, like, see what it said. It wasn't a fun thing to read through. Because they kept calling me the minor child, and I was like,
yeah,
I have a name, but in court documents, you don't do that. So Rachel, but they already have plans with Ross. Joey is quite upset that he can't go see models.
So pissed. He's like, so will these models be wearing lingerie? And high heels.
Oh, he just, the look on his face. And then we have Chandler smoking. We have talked about smoking quite a bit on this podcast because not only Chandler, but every single one of the How I Met Your Mother characters at one point or another smokes.
Does smoke,
Kathleen is so anti-cigarette. It's not, and you know
like
that I am a reformed smoker?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I may have smoked with my sister a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So for
it's
me...
It's just not something that I want to... I don't smoke.
Right.
And that it has more to do with the way that it feels and it burns and that's fine. But like... I don't want to make out with somebody who's just smoked.
Mm-hmm.
Not into it. I don't want to smell you. I don't want to cuddle with you.
Right.
Go away.
No, I agree. I agree. It's one of the reasons I don't. But he says that he started smoking when his parents divorced. And Monica goes, weren't you nine? So, poor guy. But Rachel comes back with an idea of them all going to her sister's ski cabin. And they have to go since she asked first. So, we do see Ross, and he is a little pitiful. They have, like, dinner and whatever at his new, at his
dinner
apartment.
Whatever they were doing, yeah.
With, like, his new, you know, entertainment center. But when he realizes that everyone's leaving, he, like, plays into the, it's my first weekend alone.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, get over it. Like, no, that's not.
It's Rachel's first weekend alone, too. And
right.
You're the bad guy here.
So,
also, can I comment that it was a Laserdisc?
Oh, right. And he's like, we're going to have a Laserdisc marathon. God, the 90s.
Right.
So, when everyone heads towards the ski resort in Phoebe's grandma's cab, there is some talk about Ross Joey's a little upset that, you know, like, he couldn't go and he must be mad at them or something. Chandler really badly wants to smoke, which I completely understand. Let me tell you this. Driving is the one time where I'm like, give me a cigarette right now. Thank God we're in my mom's car. I would never even think to
smoke. Kathleen, did you ever smoke?
No.
I tried a cigarette, like, once in my life, and I have also tried to smoke weed, but I'd much rather eat that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Give me the edibles.
Yeah. Amen, sister. You smoked a little bit in high school, didn't you?
In high school and early college, yeah.
Because I feel like we smoked in France.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Super legal over there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Little Galois.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Cigars.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
So they get out at a rest stop so Chandler can smoke, and they get locked out of the cab, which this is the, like, this is finally kind of a turning point of these three episodes where we are going to get some humor. We get Joey trying to get back into the car with one of the girls' underwires.
He says... Does anybody have a coat hanger?
And then Chandler goes, nope, in my other jacket. And Monica turns to him and goes, so if your parents hadn't gotten divorced, you'd be able to answer a question like a normal person?
Yeah.
I wonder how I would be if my parents hadn't gotten divorced. But, you know, we'll never know that.
I don't want to think about that.
I like me. So the girls have a debate about whose boobs are bigger. And, you know, that's always
because
funny.
Because none of them want to fork over their expensive underwire.
Right? I get that. Yeah. I'm happy now to not be wearing them anymore. It's nice.
Yeah, I don't wear underwires either. I'd be like, sorry, y'all.
Right.
I don't have an underwire. I probably wouldn't even be wearing a bra.
I don't think underwires are even long enough to get. I don't think it would actually work. But let's move on past that. So Phoebe finally volunteers, and he like rips, you know, the underwire out. Now this is a bonus scene where Monica grabs the like satiny Victoria's Secret bars. Like, this is a nice bra. Were you intending on meeting someone up there at the ski cabin? Like,
I mean,
yeah. So back in the city, Ross stops by Carol and Susan's, and Carol is kind of dressed up, and it turns out that she's planning a special dinner for Susan because it's their anniversary, and he's like, this is not when you get married, and she's like, different anniversary. So do we all imagine that this is sex-iversary?
That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Okay, this is sex-iversary, so.
Yeah.
She's trying to kind of shoo him out, but he won't leave. He says, you know, Rachel and I broke up. And he's like, she says, oh, I'm so sorry. Let's have dinner soon and really talk about this. And yet he just sits down and starts eating her food. Ross has, like, no...
boundaries?
Awareness. Yeah, or awareness. So when they get back into the cab runs out of gas. So Phoebe has called AAA to find out where they are, but they don't know. And they want to call Ross, and Rachel refuses. She says, no, you know, he's not coming up here. I'm not getting... She won't even get in the car with him. So Joey and Chandler went out to the road to try and get help, but they didn't make it because Chandler can't breathe because he's a smoker. He says Smokey Joe, which I actually have used.
High altitude.
Oh, yeah. So back at Carol's place, Ross is eating all the food. He gets... paged, and he calls back and finds out it's Phoebe, and when she asks him for help, he's a complete dick.
Oh, he's like, oh, now you want my
yeah.
help.
Go help your friends. So Carol intervenes and grabs the phone and says, you can borrow my car, but she doesn't, like, cover it. She's just holding the phone, and she's like, sorry that Rachel dumped you for the smart guy and you're brokenhearted. So she goes to tell Phoebe, I'm sending him, and I, just because I know how rational Phoebe is, she must have gone, yeah, he broke up with her and slept with, or you know what I mean? Like, he slept, and she gets off the phone. You slept with someone? And he's just like, but.
Nope.
And then I think, does he say it here or does he say it? Yeah. And she says something and she goes, you slept with another woman. And he turns to her and goes, you did that first.
No, he's like, you're one to talk.
Yeah, you're one to talk. That's what it is. Ross shows up, and Rachel is really pissed, and he's still kind of acting like a dick. Like, oh, you didn't invite me on your, you know, special trip. And everyone is kind of talking amongst themselves, like, should we ask if, you know, Ross can come up with us? He came all this way. And so Monica's the one that pipes up, and then everyone, like, totally throws her up to the bus. We weren't thinking that. And
Rachel's like, no, he can't come. And then Ross is like, oh, he can't come? I wouldn't want to be on your stupid little ski trip.
And they start acting super childish, like, well, you can't ski, you don't like to ski, or you can't ski, and everyone is, like, really upset. And then they start fighting, and it gets brought up that, like, possibly Monica and Joey agree with Ross that he's, like, not at fault. And Monica actually defends herself and is like, I said I understood where you were coming from. And Joey just goes, what? Uh-huh, what? And, like, never answers.
I mean, he can't come up with a comeback, so no. That was his defense.
I think he knows not to mess with a woman scorned. But when Ross and Rachel start fighting, everyone starts fighting. Like, everyone
except
else.
Chandler
starts doing some sort of interpretive dance to break the tension. And finally, Phoebe goes, you know, everybody stop. Look at what you're doing to Chandler. And she's the one that finally says, you know, you don't have to like each other or love each other. You don't even have to whatever, but you have to figure out how to get along or we can't be friends. Like, this isn't going to work out.
We're never going to hang out together again.
Right. And I do think of this when, like, Ted and Robin, like, first break up and there's all the tension and, like, the pie thing and whatever. So Ross says it's okay. He can't go with them. He's to take the car back.
He's got a full day with Ben tomorrow.
Yeah, and he's going to hang out with his son. Only mention of... Well, no, besides him asking where he was at Carol's and her saying he's already in bed. So they pull out to leave, and the car dies, probably because Ross, like, left the lights on or whatever, but the car dies.
That's exactly what Trevor said. He's like, yeah, you left the fucking lights on.
Thank you from the car guy.
Yeah.
So Ross doesn't wait until the next day to return Carol's car. He goes and buys a new battery. He returns her car. Well, she answers the door in, like, a bathrobe with her hair all, like, you know, tousled and whatever. And he's like, did I wake you? And she's like, no. And then she picks a tiny little hair out of her mouth.
Yes, she does. I was going to say that.
And it's so naughty. And I don't think I ever noticed it until, like, I saw it on, like, a BuzzFeed thing or something else that were, like, 10 friends' sexual innuendos that probably went over your head or something. And I was just like, oh. So he keeps, like, talking to her. He's like, well, this happened, and blah, blah, blah. And she literally just closes the door.
She pushes him out the door.
And he's like, okay, well, I'll talk to you later. So.
We're gonna go now.
I actually think I might have someone for friend of the day.
Okay.
If you wanted to do it.
I'm in.
Okay. Do you have someone?
Out of all three episodes?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys go first.
Or, like, a combination or however you want to do it.
About this.
Okay. I'm going to go first, Kathleen, because I often let you go first, and I want to go first. I'm giving it to Carol.
Oh! I really like that.
Well, A, when he first shows up and he's like, we broke up, she is genuinely upset for him. She doesn't have, she's not jealous. They talk to each other like they're friends. She does need to maybe tell him to get the F out of her apartment a little bit more forcefully. But
a little bit more friendly.
She lets him sit there and vent. But then she says, like, let's talk about this when we have more time, when I can actually help you through this.
Yeah.
And then when Phoebe tells him the truth, she calls him on his bullshit. Like,
yeah.
You
But
like,
still gives him the car to go do the thing.
Oh, absolutely. And who knows how far away they were. I mean, like, that's super nice of her to still be, like, that involved in the friend group, too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm giving it to Carol. Kathleen, who do you have?
Okay. Well, I was going to give it to Monica.
Okay.
Because she, you know, stands by Rachel, and she's the one kind of throughout the episode. She's like, there's banana on my roof, and this is more important, or ceiling, and this is more important than that. You know, so she's really trying to be that good listening ear and help, maybe not problem solve, but, like, be there for her friend. She also is there for Ross, and if we take that out of the brother-sister context that we often have to do because they're gross,
Yes, they are.
She is being a really good friend to him, too, by saying, yeah, like, I can see where you're coming from, but it's still not right.
Well, she offers to stay with him while they go skiing and, like, bake him brownies, and then he's like, pity food, pity stay. Like, don't... If I was that upset and, like, everyone else was going out of town, of all people, if my sister was like, I'll stay with you, I'd be like, cool, thanks. Because, like...
Come on over.
You know, like, that's... Anyway. Good call. I think that's a good one. So we tally these at the end of the season.
Oh, gotcha.
So that's why we keep track. So do you have one?
So I was actually going to say Monica as well. Similar reasons for what you said, Kathleen, but also going back to her being a good friend to Phoebe, really, when Phoebe was like,
will you
come basically be a placeholder to keep this guy busy? And then Phoebe was being pretty rude to her.
True story.
And even still, she was just like... I don't know. She was being like taking one for the team. She didn't know what that guy looked like, especially since apparently Phoebe set her up with a bad date before. So
Spackleback Harry.
Spackleback Harry.
Yeah. In the remaining of the episodes, I mean Phoebe could be. I mean Phoebe's very rational and helpful in most of these, so I think she could be a very good friend of the day nomination for these. So. Do you guys have anything else for these ones? Were you like, was it as hard to watch this time as it, you know what I'm saying? Like, does it always get you?
It's a hard storyline. And I think definitely, like when I watched this as a kid, it was just like, oh, you know, that's so sad. Ross and Rachel are breaking up. But now, like as an adult, having lived life and experienced these feelings and stuff, I see so much of myself in the characters and like the feelings that they're feeling come right back for me. And like the feeling, the pit of the stomach. And when Rachel's sitting there waiting to hear back from him, you know, and all the unknowns, just like all those things just really resonate with me now, as an adult. And it's hard to watch. Yeah. Really.
It's really hard to watch. I will say that I'm extremely happy to be past this part of the storyline because it is so emotion-wracking just to even think about. And I was avoiding watching the episodes until today because I just didn't want to.
Yeah.
Like, it hurts. Like Vanessa was saying, like, it's very easy now as an adult to put myself in the situation and know what the outcome is for them, but also, like, what the outcome was for me, and relive kind of my own bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever think that we actually have it worse now in situations like this because we do have cell phones, and we know that people carry them, and so that if they don't respond to you, if... She couldn't get Ross, but she left him a message. She knows, okay, he'll get that when he gets home. Yeah, I don't know where he's at right now, and that bothers me. But I actually think it's worse when, especially with iPhones, when you have read receipt and all that crap, when you don't, you know someone saw your message or you know they have their cell phone on them and they're then choosing not to get back in touch with you. It almost drives me crazy. Allison sent me a message a couple days ago and I happened to read it and then get in the car to drive back from Brittany's house. And then she goes, okay, but reading it and not responding to me is just as bad. And I was like, I'm literally driving in the car and your message was a long enough one that I needed to read it before I could give you an it was something about the Editors Guild. And I was like, I couldn't just say yes or no. I needed to know what you were actually saying. And she was like, oh. It's like, oh God, like Facebook Messenger is the bane of, you know, you
terrible. Love Marco Polo. It's just so much easier for
right?
me.
Right? Because that, well, yeah, you can also go back and check it and not have to like, whatever. But yeah, I just think back to like, I had one of my very first cell phones at like 19 or 20 when Turner went and got drunk at some party and I couldn't find him and I paged him and paged him and paged him and he showed up with a black eye. Because, and we weren't technically together, he had groped some girl's butt and she had, he was that drunk, he had turned around, she had turned around and punched him square in the face. Well, what was even funnier is one of the local DJs happened to be at the party and mentioned it on the radio later. Okay. So, like, I'm listening to the radio, and he's telling this funny story about watching this guy get punched at a party, and I'm like, yeah, that's my boyfriend. Ugh. But, like, I was going insane because I knew he had his pager on him. I knew his pager would be going off. I knew he had a cell phone. Oh, my cell phone died. There are other phones. You have a pager. You get my page. You call me back. Oh, yeah, I went crazy that day. Like, I didn't sleep. It was terrible. So.
I think also kind of piggybacking onto what you're saying about whether it's worse or not with cell phones is because of social media. So it's like, yeah, not only are they ignoring your call or ignoring your text message, but you're going to see everything on, like, everybody's Insta stories and, you know, whatever social media.
No. Dating in this, even contemplating starting dating again in this time is really not fun to even think about. Anyway, my therapist and I are going to start working on that. We're going to start talking about me dating
again. I'm going to leave it to her. She's a professional. I am not.
No, that's true. Claire knows what she's talking about. So, all right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this, you know, kind of long episode. But now we're over the hump of the breakup or being on a break. It will come back to haunt us for a long time.
Rehashed for
forever.
Ever.
We would love to hear our listeners' opinions on... Were they on a break? What your definition of that break means? I mean, obviously, please, if you completely disagree with us, we want to hear that. Like, we
absolutely
we want to know
your thoughts. But also cite your sources.
True. Cite your sources. I do that to her sometimes when she picks a friend of the day where I'm like, explain.
So that was from something. Were we like...
Cite your sources?
No, yeah, like... Oh, shit.
I think it's
like,
from a show.
Yeah, and...
I think it might be from How I Met Your Mother.
Huh?
I think it might be from How I Met Your Mother.
No.
No? Okay.
No.
We should Google
it. I think it was a movie or something.
Okay.
Oh, no, it was what I posted on some Murderino page, and they were like, oh, something about this, about How I Met Your Mother.
Oh.
And their opinion. And I was like, oh, I can see that, but I would also like you to cite your sources.
You're so funny. We will be back next week with our regular programming of one episode of Friends and one episode of How I Met Your Mother. And please, in the meantime, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/howimetyourfriendspod, to see all of our bonus content and help us run the show better by making a Patreon donation. And I have nothing else.
I think that's it.
All right.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Vanessa.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
I know.
This was super fun.
Yeah. Sorry it took so long, but this is how we roll. So, well, until next week, and hopefully I'll get to see you in person, Kathleen. So, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, if you come out to my house between now and Saturday, Friday night.
That might not happen, but we'll chat. All right.
So, I'll see you when I'm back from California.
Until next time. Bye.
Bye.